At the same time, it was possible to appreciate their point of view. The Hermians, it was often joked, sometimes behaved as if the sun were their personal property. They were bound to it in an intimate love-hate relationship, as the Vikings had once been linked to the sea, the Nepalese to the Himalayas, the Eskimos to the tundra. They would be most unhappy if something came between them and the natural force that dominated and controlled their lives. At last the chairman broke the long silence. He remembered the Sun of India, and shuddered to contemplate the Sun of Mercury. So he took the Hermians seriously indeed, even though he considered them uncouth technological barbarians.
"I think there is some merit in your argument, Mr. Ambassador," he said slowly. "Have you any proposals?"
"Yes, sir. Before we know what action to take, we must have the facts. We know the geography of Rama, if one can use that term, but we have no idea of its capabilities. And the key to the whole problem is this. Does Rama have a propulsion system? Can it change orbit? I would be very interested in Dr. Pereira's views."
"I've given the subject a good deal of thought," answered the exobiologist. "Of course, Rama must have been given its original impetus by some launching device, but that could have been an external booster. If it does have onboard propulsion, we've found no trace of it. Certainly there are no rocket exhausts or anything similar anywhere on the outer shell."
"They could be hidden."
"True, but there would seem little point in it. And where are the propellant tanks, the energy sources? The main hull is solid. We've checked that with seismic surveys. The cavities in the northern cap are all accounted for by the airlock systems. That leaves the southern end of Rama, which Commander Norton has been unable to reach, owing to that 10-kilometer-wide band of water. There are all sorts of curious mechanisms and structures up on the South Pole. You've seen the photographs. What they are is anybody's guess. But I'm reasonably sure of this. If Rama does have a propulsion system, it's something completely outside our present knowledge. In fact, it would have to be the fabulous space drive people have been talking about for 200 years.
"You wouldn't rule that out?"
"Certainly not. If we can prove that Rama has a space drive, even if we learn nothing about its mode of operation, that would be a major discovery. At least we'd know that such a thing is possible."
"What is a space drive?"
asked the ambassador from Earth, rather plaintively.
"Any kind of propulsion system, Sir Robert, that doesn't work on the rocket principle. Anti-gravity, if it is possible, would do very nicely. At present, we don't know where to look for such a drive, and most scientists doubt it exists."
"It doesn't," Professor Davidson interjected.
"Newton settled that. You can't have action without reaction. Space drives are nonsense. Take it from me."
"You may be right," Pereira replied with unusual blandness. "But if Rama doesn't have a space drive, it has no drive at all. There's simply no room for a conventional propulsion system with its enormous fuel tanks."
"It's hard to imagine a whole world being pushed around," said Solomons. "What would happen to the objects inside it? Everything would have to be bolted down. Most inconvenient."
"Well, the acceleration would probably be very low. The biggest problem would be the water in the cylindrical sea. How would you stop that from—"
Pereira's voice faded away, and his eyes glazed over. He seemed to be in the throes of incipient epileptic fit, or even a heart attack. His colleagues looked at him in alarm. Then he made a sudden recovery, banged his fist on the table,
and shouted,
"Of course! That explains everything! The southern cliff! Now it makes sense!"
"Not to me," grumbled the lunar ambassador, speaking for all the diplomats present.
"Look at this longitudinal cross-section of Rama,"
Pereira continued excitedly, unfolding his map.
"Have you got your copies? The cylindrical sea is enclosed between two cliffs, which completely circle the interior of Rama. The one on the north is only 50 meters high. The southern one, on the other hand, is almost half a kilometer high. Why the big difference? No one's been able to think of a sensible reason."
"But suppose Rama is able to propel itself, accelerating so that the northern end is forward. The water in the sea would tend to move back. The level at the south would rise, perhaps hundreds of meters, hence the cliff. Let's see."
He started scribbling furiously. After an astonishingly short time, it could not have been more than 20 seconds, he looked up in triumph.
"Knowing the height of those cliffs, we can calculate the maximum acceleration Rama can take. If it was more than 2% of a gravity, the sea would slosh over into the southern continent."
"A 50th of a G? That's not very much."
"For a mass of 10 million megatons, it is. And it's all you need for astronomical maneuvering."
"Thank you very much, Dr. Pereira," said the Hermian ambassador. "You've given us a lot to think about. Mr. Chairman, can we impress on Commander Norton the importance of looking at the South Polar region?" "He's doing his best. The sea is the obstacle, of course. They're trying to build some kind of raft, so that they can at least reach New York." "The South Pole may be even more important. Meanwhile, I am going to bring these matters to the attention of the General Assembly. Do I have your approval?" There were no objections, not even from Dr. Taylor. But just as the committee members were about to switch out of circuit, Sir Lewis raised his hand. The old historian seldom spoke. When he did, everyone listened.
"Suppose we do find that Rama is active and has these capabilities. There is an old saying in military affairs that capability does not imply intention.
How long should we wait to find what its intentions are?" asked the Hermian. "When we discover them, it may be far too late."
"It is already too late. There is nothing we can do to affect Rama. Indeed, I doubt if there ever was."
"I do not admit that, Sir Lewis. There are many things we can do, if it proves necessary. But the time is desperately short. Rama is a cosmic egg, being warmed by the fires of the sun. It may hatch at any moment." The chairman of the committee looked at the ambassador from Mercury in frank astonishment. He had seldom been so surprised in his diplomatic career. He would never have dreamed that a Hermian was capable of such a poetic flight of imagination.